This morning, we are doing God's great story. We're just following along with that. And it happens that it's one of my favorite story. It's the story of Joseph. How many has Joseph as favorite stories in the Bible? I remember reading this story when I was very young in my faith, maybe like 17 and 18, and I heard a message, and I read the whole story of Joseph, and the story highly, highly impacted me. There was so much in this story that really like spoke to me, and you will see. One of the things that I love about God's word is that God's word preached, right? We just need to open and ask the Holy Spirit, and God will speak to us through His word. He's faithful in doing that. And this is a story, a collection of chapters here that I really believe that God, He speak to us through it in so many ways. Like, you know, this morning, if you came here like discouraged, I believe that this message is going to help you. If you came here this morning thinking that you are being under attack by like family, by, you know, your friends and just the world around you, I believe there is something, you know, that will encourage you here in this message. If you came here feeling like I'm being like, you know, there is a lot of temptation around my life right now, sexually and everything else. I think there is something here for you. If you feel like, wow, I'm doing the right thing and look all this bad that I'm facing, I think there will be something in this story here to you, to all of us. So it's a great opportunity for us to consider that He is worthy, and we are going to give Him our attention to His word and let Him speak to us this morning. And that's my prayer right now. Father, we do believe in Your word. We believe that Your word, it's God's inspired. We thank You for Your word. And we know that we need it every single day because we need direction, and Your word gives us direction. And we need encouragement. Your word give us encouragement. We need forgiveness, and we find forgiveness in Your word. We need correction, and we find the correction that we need in Your word. So, Father, this morning we ask You to speak to us through Your word. Thank You so much for bringing us here this morning. And just use this, one of the great stories in the Bible, to speak to us. It's our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. So in reading this devotional book that we are reading, we have read about the beautiful creation. We have read about Adam and Eve. We have read about Cain and Abel, about Noah, the Tower of Babel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his sons. And the common thing that we have been finding as we are reading God's great stories is God's determination to bless people and to keep His promise to His people despite so many of their efforts to the contrary. And this morning, you know, I don't know about you, but I am so thankful to God that He has given me, He has given us promises that He cannot just take it back. He's going to be faithful to complete those promises, even when we are doing things, you know, that we don't want sometimes, even when we are, you know, our efforts, it's to the contrary. God has a commitment to His word, and He is going to fulfill His word. So in God's great story that we are reading together, this middle of the week, I think it was Thursday, we started this story about Joseph, and it is one of the great, you know, greatest stories in the Bible, at least in my view. And a story that when you start reading, you down the story, it's so like interesting. This week I put it as I drive 45 minutes every day to work and 45 minutes back. So it's a great time to like listen to God's word. And so I put on the whole, and I listened to the whole story. And every time I read the whole story of Joseph, I started crying. And it's funny, you know, I do my devotional in the car, and it's from time to time I find myself like crying in the car. And then when you park at a light, you know, you don't want to make contact with people, like, you know, you go like cleaning your eyes, you know. Thank God it's a little dark in the morning, and you can be just yourself in the car. Are you just yourself in the car? Do you sing in the car? Do you dance in the car? Do you cry? Do you pray? Do you wonder what the people like that it's driving right beside you is thinking about you? Like, that person is like crazy. Something is going on in that car. Sometimes, you know, you see the car parking right in front of you, and the car is parked, but the car is moving, right? It's because there is someone dancing in that car, or maybe praying hard in that car. So this week I was just like crying in reading this story again. So from the beginning of Joseph's stories, it starts with Jacob, his father, making, you know, much harder for him by favoring him over his brothers. And of course, you know, Joseph's brothers, they didn't like that very much. It was said in Genesis 37 that Jacob, he loved his son Joseph more than his other sons. And so I believe that, you know, from the beginning, that is kind of a little hard for Joseph, right? His dad just like favoring him. And sometimes we do that, right? Sometimes we parents, we do that. And I don't think that Joseph make it easy for himself as well. As you read the story, he had those dreams and he went to talk to his brothers. And unfortunately, the way that we read in the story, you know, it seemed that after he told his brother, they were like very upset. And you know, there is a way to tell a story. Even like the body language, we don't know how it happens, but I always think to myself, you know, if Joseph went to his brother and he would go like crazy, I know that this will sound like, you know, absolutely like, but I had this dream and the dream is this and this and this, and it seemed that I'm putting myself, you know, above you guys. But again, it's crazy, but it doesn't say like that. It doesn't say, maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe his body language was kind of like, hey, you guys come here, I have a story to tell you. And you know, I just saying that some way, somehow in my dreams, you know, I'm gonna be placed above, and you guys are going to actually like bow down before me. And you can only imagine, you know, the brothers, right? They were all like so upset with Joseph. And again, it's like one of the things that I love about the Bible and its characters in the Bible is that we can really relate to them and identify with them, right? Because we do the same. Right? We see the mistakes and you go like, you know, as parents, like, you know, maybe Jacob here by favoring, you know, Joseph was not the best thing. And maybe, you know, we have problems with our siblings and we all do, right? I grew up with three sisters and probably I was their greatest trouble for sure. And every opportunity that I have as, you know, being old, I apologize to them about things that I don't even remember anymore, but I'm pretty sure, you know, I was a pain in the behind for them. So, but that's what we do. We read in the Bible stories that we can relate to. We can identify with those stories, and there is so much here in this story that we'll be able to do. So let's just read. We're not going to be able to read the whole story of Joseph, but I selected some parts here because it's one of the longest narrative in the Old Testament, you know, the story of Joseph. It goes from chapter 37 all the way to chapter 50 of Genesis. And but I'm gonna be reading just a few, and we're gonna start right here in Genesis 37, verse 3 and 4. It goes like this. Now Israel, who was the new name that was given to Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And sometimes we can understand that a little bit, like Rachel with Lucas, you know, I have a 20 years old, a 17 years old, and we have a 2 years old. So I think Rachel loves Lucas more, Matthew, than she loves the two. Just her. I still love you guys. I remember Matthew telling Rachel when he was little, he would say to her, you know, Mom, I just want to say, you know, I love you, but I love Dad more. He said that. That's why I have been favoring him. Is Marcus here somewhere? No, he's not, so I can say that. So, But this is what happened here. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hate him. And they could not speak peacefully unto him. It was serious. And when they saw Joseph afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspire against him to kill him. This is Genesis 37:18. But then the oldest brother, Reuben, said unto them, shed no blood, but let's cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father. So Reuben, the oldest one, you know, he really didn't feel that was a good plan to kill him. And he had this other plan, and he was going to plan to come back and get him from that pit and take him back to his father, Jacob. So, and then it continues, verse 25. As they sat down to eat bread, and they lift up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came to Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit it is if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother. He is our flesh. And his brothers were content with this plan. Much better than killing him, right? And the Midianites, who got Joseph, sold Joseph, this is verse 36, into Egypt to Potiphar, who was an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. So here we have, you know, things going from worse to worse. Joseph, he is in trouble here. But just as we are reading God's great story, you know, things are going bad, but God is going to work in this story. You know, God is going to be faithful to Joseph, as we will see, and to his people, despite the troubles that they get themselves in. And here is a great opportunity for God to be God, right? And save Joseph from a terrible situation. So, you know, the brothers conspire to kill Joseph. Reuben intervened with a plan to save him later, but his brothers had a better plan, and that was to sell Joseph, and now he is in the lowest place imaginable. You know, he is in slavery in a foreign land. But yet, being in that situation, Joseph, he was faithful. Joseph, he was hopeful. And that's one thing that, you know, we appreciate about the story of Joseph, that yes, bad things were happening to him, but he was holding, you know, to his integrity. He was holding on even in the tough of the situation. So we see, you know, Joseph, he worked hard and he was promoted as an overseer in Potiphar's house. But one day, we read, more disaster came Joseph's way. Potiphar's wife, you know, after failing to try to seduce Joseph, you know, she lied about what happened. And Joseph, once again, went from worse to terrible. He was thrown in prison. And even here, as we, you know, we stop in the story here, it's just amazing to see Joseph's integrity, right? Because, you know, it wasn't just one time that he was being seduced. You know, God's word says that, you know, he seems that he was a handsome guy and he was intelligent and he was a leader, you know, and Potiphar's wife was attracted to him, and she tried very hard, and she saw that when she couldn't do anything and that he wouldn't fail for her, you know, trying hard, he ran and she kept his coat, his beautiful coat that Jacob gave to him, and she lied about him. And there he goes again, even lower, even lower. He was put in prison. But even in prison, Joseph, he found favor with the prison keeper, and he was placed in charge of all the prisoners. This young man, Joseph, he was really something else. Because, you know, how low do we need to get in life, right? To just like be mad at God and be mad at everybody and start doing our own things, and the last thing that we want to do, it's just like follow God. And sometimes it happens in our lives, but not with Joseph. Joseph, he kept on believing, he kept on trusting. And as we keep on reading in the story, Joseph in the prison, he had this opportunity to meet Pharaoh's cupbearer and his baker. And they had a dream. Both of them had a dream, and Joseph had an opportunity to interpret their dreams, and it was right on the mark. You know, what he said happened for the cupbearer was good, for the baker was terrible. So he interpreted their dreams, and Joseph requests, hey, you know, I'm doing you this favor, and remember me because I'm here in prison, you know, and they forgot him. They forgot him for 2 years in the prison. But as we see in the story, God did not forget that dreamer, right? God did not forget Joseph. So Pharaoh itself, he had a dream, and nobody could interpret Pharaoh's dream. And the cupbearer, he reminded of Joseph. And he told, hey, I know this guy. I was in prison, and he was able to interpret my dreams. So they went to get Joseph as the only capable of doing. Pharaoh, he tried everything. Joseph was able to interpret the dream and got promoted as a ruler, as we read the story. And I know that I'm jumping. You know, he was promoted by Pharaoh, and he became the ruler over all Egypt. He was the second in authority only to Pharaoh itself. And here we see, you know, Romans 8:28, it says that we know that God works all things together for those who loved him, those who are called according to his purpose. And even though this was written, you know, in Romans, like many years after, here we see God just working things together, right? Nobody knew what was going on. The brothers, they didn't know. Jacob, the father, he didn't know. Even Joseph himself, he didn't know why he had those crazy dreams. The brothers, they, you know, if they knew that God was about to do something, even Jacob, if he knew exactly that God was about to do something, maybe they wouldn't do to Joseph what they did. But God had a plan in all this. And God was working his plan for good, you know, according to his purpose. And he does the same thing in our lives, the same thing. So God was working things for good here, even though some of the circumstances were not good, and they were not in many ways. But God knew that Joseph was being sent ahead to save lives. God knew that. Nobody else knew, but he was just being sent by God so that he could save lives. And God gave that promise to Abraham, right? Who was, let's see, Jacob was his grandson. So Joseph was the great, great son, right, of Abraham. So the promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis 12 was, I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing to all the family of the earth. And Abraham was a blessing. And here we have Joseph being a blessing. The promise being fulfilled with Joseph here many years later. So going back to the story, you know, Pharaoh had his dream. And he dreamed of 7 years of abundance in the land, followed by 7 years of terrible, terrible famine. The whole earth was going to be affected, but God had placed Joseph there for such a time as that was. He put him in a position, a strategic position with power, that when the famine came, he would provide for the whole earth. And that included his family, that included his father, that included his brothers. So the famine came and everybody suffered but Egypt. Joseph, with God's wisdom and help, he had prepared like storehouses full of food for survival during this time. And people came from all over the world of that time to Egypt. And Joseph was able to be used by God to save many lives. And in that group that came, you know, his brothers, those evil guys that did that evil thing to him, his brothers also came. Now, when they came, they didn't recognize Joseph, maybe because of the whole, like, Egyptian clothes and the thing that they put it in their head. And so they couldn't really like recognize Joseph, but Joseph knew exactly who they were. And Joseph kept that as a secret for a moment. Joseph even like tested them a little bit, and he could do whatever he want, right? He could have revenge himself for the evil thing that they did to him. But that was not what Joseph did to his brothers. You know, because God was kind to Joseph and protected him and directed him. I love, you know, what we read in Psalms 37, verse 21. It says this, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of everybody we know. God was with Joseph and extended to him kindness. And now we have Joseph's turn, right? He could have revenged himself. He could have paid back his brothers for the evil things that they did to him. But I believe Joseph understood that there was a plan going on that was bigger than, you know, what his brothers did to him. So Joseph was kind to his brothers. And then we read, and I'm coming to a point here. Then we read in Genesis 45, it goes like this. Then Joseph, he could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out. I mean, picture. You know, after all these years, going through all that Joseph went through with his brother selling him, with, you know, Potiphar's wife doing what she did to him, you know, the guy that he helped with the dreams, forgetting him for another 2 years. Here we have Joseph in this moment with his brothers, and he cries out. He asked everybody to leave his presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard about it. I mean, think about that. You know, I was thinking to myself, maybe that was the moment that Joseph was putting everything together. Maybe He didn't have any time to be sorrow and to mourn what happened to him. But here was a moment where he just could not contain himself anymore. And Joseph said to his brothers, and I love this, I am Joseph. And this was his first question. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him, because they were terrified, and they were for sure. They never thought that, you know, the little dreamer that came along the way talking about this crazy story about, you know, him being above his brothers and even dad, they could not believe. And what they were expecting was like, you know, revenge from him. In verse 4, it says, then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, it was God. I mean, what a turn in this story, right? It was not you, but it was God. I mean, we have our own stories and things that happen in our lives. And one thing that I believe that Joseph understood here, it was the fact that God, the creator of everything, he rules. He's sovereign over everything. And I believe that Joseph, you know, understood God's sovereignty. And I know sometimes for us, it's hard to understand God's sovereignty, you know, especially when, you know, we don't understand what's going on in the circumstances of our lives. You know, things are not going well, but God, it's still working, even though the circumstances in the moment, it's not working as we would like to. We see here God's grace, God's love, God's forgiveness being perfect. He is guiding Joseph, and he is actually guiding the whole world in a perfect way. Nobody thought that. And in his perfection, you know, we see God overruling people's sins, overruling people's failures. And that's what he does in our lives. Don't you love the fact when you look back in your life how God has, because of Jesus Christ, overruled our sins, overruled our failures, in some way, somehow blessed us again? That's our God. He can do that because he is God. He rules. He is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, we have this story here being developed so that God had a plan in mind. And this plan, as we will see, it will go all the way to the cross. It will go all the way to our Savior. And God had all that in mind from the beginning. He had a plan. And guys, you know, this morning for us, you know, God, he always have a plan. He is sovereign. I love Psalms 115:3. It says, our God, he is in heavens, and he does all that he pleases. And I think Joseph understood that. Maybe in the moment, you know, things were happening that displeased him. And in our lives, you know, there are several moments of things that are displeasing us. But maybe God has a plan. Maybe God knows something that we don't know. I cannot see behind this, this door here. God can. I cannot see past, you know, this very moment. God can. And we can trust him. We can wait on him. We can work hard, just like Joseph. He worked hard. We can maintain our integrity, just like Joseph, who maintained his integrity when he was about to be seduced. Because God has a plan. God always have a plan. And sometimes we don't know completely what his plan, how it's going to develop, but he has a good plan because he is a good God. He is a faithful God. And I love this verse here at the very end of Genesis. You know, the last chapter, it says this, "Fear not," Genesis 50, 19 and 20, "fear not, for am I in the place of God," Joseph said, "but as for you, you have thought evil against me, but God meant into good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." The brothers, the situation, you know, other people, they planned for evil, but God knew all that, and he was able to turn all for good. And this is very practical in our lives, right? Because sometimes, you know, our best friends, sometimes even in our family, you know, people are thinking evil, you know, people are planning evil, but we can still trust God. We can still wait on God, knowing that even like the evil or the lie that they say about you, God is able to turn into good. God is able to change the situation to promote you. God is able to change things so that he can use you for a greater purpose that you expected. So I think one of the great realizations that we can have in our lives is that God, he is God, and I am not. You are not, I'm sorry. You know, and sometimes, unfortunately, you know, we don't even want, but we kind of like position ourselves and we put ourselves in the place of God. We think we know. We think we know better. We think so and so should not, you know. But just like Joseph, the realization, am I placing myself in the place of God? And sometimes we do. And we do need to repent. And we do need to confess to God, God, you know what? That's true. I thought I knew better than you. I thought I knew better than that person. I was placing myself in your position. Please forgive me. Please redirect me to a place of humbleness, to a place of submission, to a place of dependence on you, to a place where I am understanding that you are God and I'm not. You are sovereign. You see everything. You are above everything. You are the all-powerful, the all-seeing. You know everything. And you know me. And I can trust you. And I can wait on you. And I can keep on working hard, just like Joseph. I can keep on trusting hard, just like Joseph. I can keep on, like, I do not understand, but God understands the situation. And I can go on trusting God, just like the many witnesses that we have in the Bible, where God turned what they were going through, which was bad, into something good. You know, we have not only Joseph, we have the story of Abraham, we have Moses, we have David, we have, you know, Paul, we have Peter. You know, we have a lot of stories in the Bible that illustrate for us that God can be trusted, that he is God. So our part, I want to finish with this verse here. Our part is 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. So as we continue to read together this devotional to God's story, we know that God is sovereign. We know that he is good. We know also that our enemy, Satan, and people, you know, and even ourselves can plan evil against our own selves. But we know that God can turn it to good, that he is faithful, that he is working according to his plan, and he has been calling us to his purpose, and we are following him. At the end of the day, it's great news that God's plan is way bigger than the best plan that you can come up with. And thank God for that. Because sometimes our plans that we cherish, we invested on it, we see it going through our hands just like that. But I'm telling you, God's plans never goes through his hands just like that, because he is God. And we are in his hand, in the palm of his hand. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can take us away from the palm of his hand. We can trust him. He is in control of everything. This world, it's crazy, and it's maybe it's going to get even more crazier before God's intervention. But see, we know the one that we trust. We know the one that we follow. He is God. He is good. And we are thankful for that. And that is good news for us today. Amen. Father, we praise you this morning. We thank you. Just as we sing, you are worthy of everything. Jesus, you are worthy of everything. Thank you for your plan for our lives. Thank you for taking care of every detail, Lord, even when the circumstances doesn't seem to be taken care of, that you have a better plan. And even when evil things happen, Lord, you are powerful enough to turn it around into good according to your purpose for your glory. Father, this morning, thank you for your word that speak to us. And all of us here this morning, we know that your spirit can use your word in our lives, and we can leave this place here changed by your spirit and changed by your word. We can leave this place here with a different perspective that we came in here today, comforting in the fact that you are God and we are not, but you love us and you have a plan for us. And for that, we are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much.